You come to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, you find that the flood is over with, and Noah and his sons have begun to go back out through the earth. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech in verse number 1. And they built there a tower. You remember. It was the land of Nimrod. And but you come on down in the generations. And you find a man in verse 26 by the name of Terah. The Bible said, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." I want to preach just for a little while on the journeying life of Abraham. The journeying life of Abraham. I love the scriptures in the Word of God. There's so many wonderful things, so many wonderful stories, true stories. This is history that we're reading about this morning. Early history, early world history. And we're talking about a family who we mention here in verse 26, Terah being the father. Terah being the father. Terah, a descendant of Noah and his three sons. And Terah lived 70 years. And then he begat three sons, Abram being the oldest son. Now, when Terah died, we read how that Terah had died, but before Terah died, his youngest son, Haran, had died. And then Terah, the Bible said, and the name Terah means, I think, if I'm not mistaken, father's land, and that was his father's land, the land of Terah. That was Abraham's father's land, and of course, Ur of the Chaldees. And so, but Terah is going to take them out and bring them into the land of Canaan. That surprises me. I mean, that here God was already, before he had ever spoke to Abraham, he's making Abraham's way into the land of Canaan by his father. But they stopped along the journey, and they stopped at the land of Haran. That was the place that was named after his youngest son. Maybe it was because of his grieving for his youngest son. I don't know. But they never got past Haran. And Terah died in the land that was named after his younger son. Then we have God speak to Abram. And you wonder, why didn't God speak to Nahor? It's because Abram was the eldest son, the next in line. He is the head of the family. God does everything in order. And God has structure about what he does. And still, when it comes to the family, God uses the structure of the family. And so Abram is the head of the family. And I want us to look at Abram's life. So Terah begat Abram. Abram, the eldest son. And it's good to notice this too. Terah means station or delay. And that's exactly what happened to him in Haran. He delayed. He stayed stationary. He didn't go on into Canaan land. He delayed. And so God told him in chapter 12, get thee out of thy country. He's telling Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. That's from Haran, his youngest brother and his other brother. And he was in Haran from thy kindred. Abram's about 75 years old. And from thy father's house, that's Terah. That's his father's land with a little f, his earthly father. Get out from thy father's land. And so he said, you're going to, in verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said that he was going to come to a place which he should after receive. Abraham obeyed and went out. Now the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10, he talked about a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's the capital city of God. That's what Abram was looking for. He's looking for a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Now in Hebrews 11:15, he said if they had been mindful of that country, and that word country is patris, and it means father's land with a big F. It's amazing, you know, the Russians call Russia the motherland. And, you know, a lot of times people, they call America the motherland. But God told Abram, said, the land you're going to is your father's land. That's good, ain't it? The potters, our heavenly father's land, a land that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. The capital city of God, our father's land. That's where you and I are headed. That's where Abraham was. That's where Abram was heading. And so back in Genesis 12, he went down into Egypt. And there was a grievous famine. That's why he went down. And he lied about Sarai. He lied about her. He told her, when he went down there, say that you're my sister. Don't tell him that you're my wife, because they'll kill me and then take you. And so you know the story, how that Abram lied about Sarai just being his sister and didn't tell the whole truth. And it almost got the king of Egypt and all of Egypt cursed and destroyed. And the Pharaoh knew, he realized that the judgment of the supreme God had come upon them. And he realized that Abram had not told the truth. Now I want to say this about your journey along the way. And I'm talking about your life and how you live and where you go and what you do. If you're going in the right direction, and Egypt was not the right direction, by the way. But if you're going in the right direction, you don't have to lie about your life. You don't have to lie to others about your life. Amen? I mean, there are situations that people, all the time, they will tell those that love them, that are close to them, they will make the picture out to be something different than it is, so that nobody will get on their case or pray for them or tell them they're going to Egypt, going in the wrong direction. And so they'll lie. They'll lie about the direction that their life is going in. But you don't have to lie if you're heading in the right direction. You don't have to lie to others. You don't have to lie to yourself. There's a lot of people will try to convince themselves that things are better than they really are, to stay in a path that they're in. And they're lying to their self. Millions are lying to their self today about the life that they're living. Look around. It's not hard to see of a world that is trying to convince their self they're happy and they're in the right direction. They're in the way that's most acceptable. It may be most acceptable, but it ain't right. Are you hearing me? But Abram, he got himself in trouble because he lied. You don't have to lie about your life. You don't have to lie about the direction of your life if you're going in the right direction. If you're going the way that God wants you to go. Amen? I'll never forget Brother Gudger Jenkins said something. I may have already told it here. He said, I never had to lie or regret the good things in my life, only the bad things that I regretted. Things that you lie about, you regret them. Amen? And the bad choices, you regret them. Bad decisions, you regret them. Man, and so he was going down into Egypt. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible said that Abram became Abraham, and he had no sons. He was going to be the father of many nations. This is when Sarah received strength, the Bible said. Sarah received strength. And so you think about this. When Abraham received the promise, that's when his wife became blessed. That's when his life became blessed. That's when he finally had a son. He was going in the covenant direction that God had promised him. The circumcisions, every man that is born in thy house, he told them, or bought with thy money of any stranger which is of thy seed. That's what he told Abraham. He said, every male that's in your house, whether he's born in your house or whether he was bought with your money, he's going to be circumcised. His house was separated. This way that he couldn't have any part of his house that was not circumcised.
God told him, said, if they're born in your house or if they're bought with your money,
that was his slaves. If he had slaves, people that he had purchased to bring them in as family, to work as farm hands, whatever, they had to be circumcised. They were a part of Abram's house. They were to be circumcised, separated from the world. And so Abram goes on. In Genesis chapter 18 is when Abram found out, and he asked this question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The journey of Abraham brought him to the place where he was asking that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's when he's going to have a child. That's when he's going to have a child after not being able to have a child. After being old and Sarah's womb shut up and they knew it was shut up. And he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Get a hold of that now. Because many of us, listen to me, many of us run into situations in our life, in our Christian life, where we believe that it's impossible and it's not going to change. There's nothing can be done about this situation. It is what it is, and I have to learn to live with it. You think Abraham got there? I'm sure that he got there. He had already decided there wasn't going to be a son with Sarah. That's why he had a son with a handmaiden. He thought, surely God must be talking about me having a child with a handmaiden in the house. Because Sarah's womb is shut up. Now, if I try to have a child with a handmaiden and I still don't have a child, I'll know that it's my fault too. But are you listening to me? I mean, more or less, in Abram's mind, and definitely in Sarai's mind, this was a situation too impossible and too far gone. But God said he was going to do something. And when God said he was going to do something, Abraham said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now I want to tell you, when you run up against an impossible situation, you need to ask yourself that question. When there's something comes into your life and into your home, you need to ask yourself, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You need to find an answer for that question. You don't just need to ask that question. You need to find an answer to that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? How many yays in the house? Anything too hard for the Lord? Anybody know of anything? Come on, lift them up. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Does anybody know anything that's too hard for God to do this morning? Anybody? Anybody anywhere around the world? Amen? Email it to me. If you know of anything that's too hard for the Lord, and I promise you, there ain't going to be anybody say that there's anything too hard for him. Now, everybody that knows there's nothing too hard for him, raise your hand. Nothing too hard for him. Lift it on up. Show him. Show him that, God, I believe there's nothing too hard for you this morning. That's the journey of your life. Hey, listen, you know why Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness? Romans chapter 4. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So in the Christian life, it is our love, it is our duty, it is our righteousness to believe God. To believe God. To believe Him. That's where our journey really starts picking up. Are you listening to me? That's where Abraham's journey to Canaan really began to pick up when he believed God. God said, Abram, you believe in me against all else, I'm counting righteousness to you because you believe me. Because you believe me. Amen. Because you believe me. Listen, God wants, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe. Amen. That is the sum of a Christian life, is for you and I to believe the way Abraham believed. And so Abram believed God, and Abraham became the friend of God in that same chapter. Amen? The same chapter that he asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham became the friend of God. When you really believe God, listen, it does something to your relationship with Him. It'll change your relationship with Him. Amen. You'll go from being a servant to a bondservant. One that serves because you're bound in soul and spirit to serve Him. Not because you're a slave. Amen? Oh, goodness. I think about the greatest promise that he was given, the greatest call that, I mean, that a man could have. Abraham had the greatest call. Get thee out of thy country. I mean, come follow me. The greatest promise. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Messiah coming through the line of Abraham. All nations, Jew and Gentile, being blessed through his seed. That's Christ. But it's through his family. Amen? And his family will be as the sand of the sea. They'll be as the stars of the heaven. They'll be as the dust of the earth. What a promise. I don't know of anybody that's ever had a promise like that. This great covenant that God gave to Abraham. But he also had some great disappointments. One greatest disappointment he ever had was when God told Abraham about Lot. Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, and before Lot, Ishmael. Don't you know that wasn't a disappointment? Have a son. I mean, I know he was with the bondwoman, but he was his son. Have to put him out. Have to put the mother out. Heavy, heavy, great disappointments. But Abram didn't let great disappointments disrupt the other great things that God had for his life. Some people sit down right there. Some people would have sit down right there where Ishmael is. Yeah, that's almost the way Abram's father did, where Haran was, where Haran died, his youngest son. That's where he sat down. That's where he died. Some people can't get past their great disappointments in this journey of life. But Abraham did. Abram, he believed God. And he believed God could get him past these disappointments. He believed God could find. Listen, if there'd be 10 righteous down there, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Don't you know it wasn't a disappointment to not be able to find 10 righteous among Lot? And then for Lot to come out and become nothing the way that he did? And you know what happened in Lot's life? It's one of the worst shames. But that didn't stop Abram. That didn't stop Abraham.
Amen. Abraham, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Offered up Isaac. Whew. I'm going to go to think about that. Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, that's when the Bible said God tested Abraham. Over in Genesis, he told him to go up to that mountain that he'd show him, offer Isaac a sacrifice. Isn't that what he said? I mean, can you think about that? Abram journeying, taking now his only son. The Bible said, his only begotten son in Hebrews 11:18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. No, verse 17, I'm sorry. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. It was the only one that God recognized was Isaac. His only begotten son. That was God's declaration of Isaac. The only son of promise. His only legitimate wife, Sarah, heir to his property. Amen? Abram, when he took him up there, listen, as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead, figuratively. He was already dead. He was going to be offered up. Abraham believed he was going to return with him. He believed in that resurrection. Why? Because he had already settled it in his heart back in Genesis. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That never left his life. If it ever gets in your life, it won't leave your life. Listen, those things that God puts in my life and puts in your life, don't leave those things. Go back to them. God put them there for you and I to go back to. To go back to and remember. To go back to and draw strength from. How do you know when Jesus, when he had fed those 5,000 and then fed those 4,000. And then he came and his disciples, he was going to ask them to do something else. And they said, it's because we didn't bring no bread. And he marveled. He was amazed how that they didn't remember he had fed the 4,000, fed the 5,000. It wasn't about them bringing enough bread. It was about them believing in him. Believing what he could do. Amen. And every situation's not the same. We've got it in our mind that every time we hit a hard spot, it's going to be a disappointment. Why? Because we disappointed ourselves the last time by not believing. Where God wants us to believe, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. No. That God did tempt Abraham. God did tempt Abraham, but he had already settled it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. When I had the boy, God gave me the boy. God gave me the boy and told me that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Isaac, through him, the Messiah would come. How's that going to happen if he's dead? No doubt Abraham added 1 + 1 is 2, and 2 + 2 is 4. And God, amen, plus his promise is good enough. God in his word is good enough.
So I'm going to believe God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And what did God do? God provided himself a lamb. God provided himself a lamb. Provided himself a sacrifice. Right down to, at the last minute. Abraham. You read over in the book of Romans where we took some of our scripture today. Romans 4. See, Abraham wasn't justified by works. He believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness in Romans 4:3. And his faith is counted for righteousness, verse 5. His faith. You read in Romans chapter number 4, he's talking a whole lot about what God did in the life of Abraham and how Abraham believed. And that's how he received the promise. Believed. Really believed. Sometimes I wonder, we say we have faith, church, listen, but sometimes I wonder just how much we really believe. You know he's up there, don't you? And you know he's watching us. And you know he's real. Amen? Jesus is real, more real than I am. Got scars in his hands and in his feet and in his side. He's coming back again. He's real. This is his word. He gave us his word to live by. Gave us promises to walk by. Told us of a land, a fatherland. Amen. Told us of a better day. I go away to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be. There you may be also. Amen. Keep journeying, Abraham. Keep journeying, Abraham. Keep walking. Keep believing. God provided himself a lamb. That provided it all. Amen. That provided it all. When God provided himself a lamb, that provided it all. Everything that you and I need for this life is in Christ. Everything you and I need for the next life is in Christ. It's all supplied by him. He just wants us to believe him. Really believe him. Really trust him. Really believe him. Don't let the things of this life again, don't let the things of this life cause you to doubt God. Don't let one trial dictate what will happen in another trial. Don't let your mistakes determine the rest of your life. Abram, when he came out of Egypt, he got on the altar. Got on the altar. Got things fixed. Amen. Maybe that's where a lot of times I fail, I don't get back on the altar after I've not believed him the way that I should. I just hadn't put myself back on the altar. Say, God, be merciful to me for doubting you. for not believing that you could or that you would. Amen. I want you to